I'm Dime Roberts. The Berber people have long survived invasions, persecution. 25 to 30 million Berbers live in North Africa. The 2000 U.S. Census, however, listed about 1,300 Berbers in America. The people, language, and history are not easily known to Americans. One Berber musician, Mo Ali Les, came from Algeria in 1990, shortly before the Civil War. He's devoted his career to educating Americans about Berber culture through his music. Today, we start a special feature on immigrants and refugees called Migrations. And our focus is on musician Mo Ali Les. I'm Dime Roberts, stage and studio. In the studio with me is Mo Ali Les. We just heard his music, actually, from his latest CD, When the Dust Settles, and I want to thank you for joining me today. That song was called Volunteers Day, and I'd like to know more about the background of that song. It's about a village.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. That song is from the latest album, trying to describe how people back home in the 80s and even before the 80s, and I hope it's still going, it's still happening. So it describes how people gather in a village probably once a month or something, and to clean up the village. Nearly every village has like a fountain, so people will go and clean the fountain before summer, and they clean the path going to the fountain, for example, and they clean other areas of the village and before the summer, almost before each season. Like in winter, they do it just before the rain starts, and in summer they do it also to get it ready for people who visit from cities who left the village to work. And so that's that the song talks about that. So people volunteer their time to clean and make the village look nice and clean.
So it's a work song. It's a fast-paced work song, and it really gets you moving, too. It really is about the people in the village pitching in together to help each other. I was just curious, though. It makes me ask questions, you know. What was your village like in Algeria? Because that's where you grew up.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, actually, I was born in a very, very beautiful village of about 3,000 people that time. Probably now it's 4,000 or more. So it's a village located on the road that takes to the whole region. So it's like a door to the region of 23 to 33 villages. So it's on the road, easy access from downtown Tizi Ouzou, which is the main city in Kabylia. So it's about 12 kilometers, maybe 7-8 miles from the main town in the Kabylia region. So the village is really beautiful, and people know each other. Each family knows the other families, and I grew up there. And
was it mostly farmland and rural?
No, not really. Actually, Kabylia is a mountainous region. So, but nearly everyone owns a piece of land, but it's not really an area to cultivate. But people find a way to scrap the soil of the earth and to make something out of it.
So how did people survive there and make a living there?
Generally, where men live, you know, just to other cities in Algeria, like to the capital, Algiers, or actually mainly to Europe. We have today probably between 3 and 4 million Algerians live in France only, let alone other countries. So most men, even women who prefer to get a job elsewhere, immigrate to other cities and mainly to France. So there isn't much jobs in a village. So that's why people go find jobs elsewhere.
So migration is a way of life then. So families send their children off then, or the children go off and then make a living and then send money home.
That's right.
Yeah. And so that is how the economy is based, especially in a small village?
Yes, I would say so. But this is only in this state of Kabylie I come from. Other states, you know, they have big cities. They have, you know, Algeria is rich in oil. So we have oil companies all over the south, the desert area. Also, people go there, work, you know, the oil refineries, things like that. So, but generally, there isn't much to do in a village.
Well, you migrated from Algeria about 24 years ago. What kind of reactions did you get when you told people you were Berber? Do people know what Berber is?
No, not really. I first moved to San Diego, California in 1990, and I was surprised how little people knew about Algeria and even less about the Berbers. So that's the reason I decided to kind of educate people and teach people about who the Berbers are and things like that.
Well, what do you tell people? Because most Americans probably don't know much about, as you say, Algeria or Berber culture. So what do you tell people?
So I explain and I say that the Berbers are, as we like to be called, Amazigh people, are the very first known inhabitants of North Africa. And today they can be found anywhere from Western Egypt, a region called Siwa. We believe there are about 50,000 Amazigh or Berbers still live there. And then across Tunisia, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, and as far south as Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Mauritania. So we believe there are about 9, 10, or even 12 countries where about 25 to 35 million Amazigh or Berber live. So that's what I tell people, that we come from an ancient culture, and we are still in existence. We are still around. And in fact, in Morocco, there are about 18 million Berbers in Morocco only, and in Algeria maybe 35%, which would be about 7 to 10 million. So I try my best to at least tell people that we exist, and North Africa is a vast region and different cultures.
Are there differences between Moroccan Berber and Algerian Berbers?
They're very close, but depending the area, like if you go to Morocco, the three main regions, the south Morocco, and then the Middle Atlas, Tamazight, and the Rif region in the north, very similar. But when you compare them to Algerian Berber, sometimes it can be difficult to understand.
Language differences,
yeah,
and some cultural too. I wonder about Berbers because they were the indigenous culture or the indigenous peoples of Northern Africa before all the invaders came and the colonials and were colonized. So it's been a hard struggle to keep the language alive, hasn't it? It's been, and the culture itself. In some ways, is there an effort to kind of eradicate that language especially?
Yeah, first of all, thanks to women who kept really the culture, the customs going, whether in southern Algeria by the Tuareg or in the Kabylie region of Algeria where I come from. But at the same time, a little is done to keep this culture alive. It's in fact, it's the opposite. You know, governments of all North Africa are doing, are trying to eradicate this culture, trying to kill this culture, and they want it to disappear completely from the face of the earth. So luckily, there are people now waking up, whether in Morocco or in Libya and even Tunisia, and trying to stand up and fight for this for their culture.
So it's really important for you as a Berber musician and singer to sing in the Berber language, and that's what you do.
That's right.
Why have you chosen to do this in America?
First of all, That's my mother tongue. I grew up with this language, and when I compose or write songs, they are written in the Tamazight or Berber language. I wish I could do in other languages. In fact, I recorded one song in French on my second album. Then recently on the latest album, I tried my very first in English. But hopefully I will try to compose and sing in English too.
I'm Dimay Roberts, in case you just tuned in. This is a special Station Studio feature presentation. It's first in a series of features on immigrant refugee artists called Migrations. And it's funded by the Regional Arts and Culture Council. And you can find out more about this series on Facebook.com/migrationsarts. And I'm talking with Mo Ali Lesh, and he's about to play for us live here. And I just wanted to bring out this instrument that you brought with you. It's called the mandol.
Correct.
And is it the precursor to the mandolin?
Yes. If you're looking at the mandolin, it looks exactly like a mandolin, except this one is larger in size, and it's got five double strings, silk strings, and it's got frets. Unlike the oud, some of you may be familiar with the oud.
Would you play some of the strings so we know how many strings there are?
So this one has five double silk strings, and I'm going to try to play a little bit for you.
What song are you going to play?
I'm going to play a song, since we're speaking about what happened and what's going on in North Africa. I'd like to play a song called A Culture on the Brink of Extinction. And this is from my third album, which is called North Africa's Destiny. خاميش شمد تقبيلي ثورات نتزوم ذي نور مين انتولن يقدر عندي ثمور ثناغ ضر يومي لازلن فران يمزرو يناغ ذي ثذرينة مسلاين تمسلاي ثور السيناغ في فيزيلة مسلاين تمسلاي ثور السيناء آي آي
آي. I'm Dimay Roberts, Station Studio. We just heard Mo Ali Lesh playing the Algerian Berber instrument, the mandol, for us live. His latest CD is called When the Dust Settles, and you can find out more about it and him on his website, flagoffreedom.com. You can also find that on stageandstudio.org. So would you tell us some of the lyrics in what you just sang?
About this song, A Culture on the Brink of Extinction, is some tactics that are being used by government, at least in Algeria, to eradicate this culture. They would spend a huge amount of money to promote other cultures, bring singers from all over the world, but there is no budget for the Berber musicians, no music festivals, no, they're doing almost nothing to help this.
So they're not funding any Berber arts at all?
Yeah. So in
fact, what about education?
Same thing for education. I mean, it's been now over 30 years since, this is 1980, when we first had a big uprising, and then they promised to give budget and build schools and have children take Berber lessons in schools. But until today, they never provided anything like that. They would tell you, if you like to teach this language, you find a teacher, you find schools. So they're doing that different other tactic to keep this suppress this culture, because if a language is not taught in schools, I mean, it will not survive. In fact, it's they are succeeding in their tactics.
So how political, Mo, is your music?
It is, I mean, some, if we can say political, I mean, for me, I would put it this way. I would say, rather than it's a political song, I would rather say it's, I'm trying to bring the truth. I'm trying to denounce these politicians and these military people and as a whole government. I'm trying to denounce them of what they're doing, because there are still people who believe in them. So I try to write a couple songs in each album to talk about the situation, political situation in Algeria.
Well, you came right before the civil war in Algeria in 1990, and I wonder how that affected you and personally and your family, that civil war, and some of the skirmishes that are happening now on the border of Algeria and Tunisia right now. How is that affecting you personally?
I mean, being here, it's hard to tell when you're here, you got another life, but I still keep an eye, kind of read what's going on. But that civil war in Algeria that lasted almost 9 years, from 91 till 99, where more than 300,000 civilians were killed, including a number of my friends, including a top singer songwriter whose name is Lounès Mahtoub, a good friend of mine, who was assassinated on June 25th, 1998, along over 150 journalists and intellectuals. So that affected me a lot, and affected my family, and everyone, almost everyone was affected by that civil war. But for what's going on right now between the borders of Algeria and Tunisia, it's I still don't know exactly what's going on, because I don't trust either one of them.
Either government.
They come up with a story and to make people believe that there's something, but they always hide something behind. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there right now, and I'm sure we will find out in the coming days and weeks.
But it's still not good for the indigenous Berber people. It would seem like, no matter what happens, right?
One thing I can tell you one thing: if these governments of North Africa, let's say Algerian government and Moroccan government, are not friends right now, they've been enemies. But when it comes to the Berber culture, they can gather their forces together against the Amazigh people. So nothing good is coming out of this.
Well, let's hear another song from your album, When the Dust Settles. And this title of this track is It Started in Tunisia, and it is about the Arab Spring.
Right.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
Tunisia, into struggle with Zinabedin. Youth wanted a new era, 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 and topple the old regime. Youth wanted a new era, and topple the old regime.
I was just wondering how the Arab Spring affected the Berber people. Was there an effect on any changes for them?
I think so, because when this happened, it started in Tunisia and then in Libya. One good thing happened, at least they got rid of Muammar Gaddafi, number one dictator. He's worse than any North African dictators who kept the Amazigh or Berber people in Nufusa Mountains and other regions unable to speak the Berber language in their homes when he was alive. This is one of the richest, maybe the second richest in Africa. There are only 6 million people in Libya, and he found a way to take all the money for his family and let these people starve. So when the Arab Spring started, and 2 years later he ended up dead, so at least it's a good thing for the Amazigh, because in fact the people who helped almost 90% to get rid of him were the Berbers from the mountains of Nufusa. When the situation started from the east, from Benghazi, they never reached Tripoli. It was the Amazigh people who went from the mountains, small groups, and then going eastward until they reached Tripoli. And from there, you know, a matter of few days, he left, and then he was caught. So in Libya, I think they're enjoying some. And now they're asking the Berber to become an official language in Libya.
I did not know that.
It hasn't happened yet, but they're requesting.
There's a movement.
That.
There's a movement. So as an artist, too, with this song, it started in Tunisia. You're really experimenting here with more of a pop song element to this. It's a little bit different from the rest of your tracks.
That's right. It's thanks to a friend of mine in Berkeley, Dan Fries, who helped me arrange this song and put this song together.
Well, is it a challenge playing traditional music and then also wanting to push the boundaries? You know, it's the old question of how much is preservation and how much is more experimentation.
Yeah, it's a little hard because I wanted to preserve what I'm doing, but it's also good to try to do something you know, experimental. So I'm happy with both.
It's a good mix. I like it.
Thank
I like
you.
That track. You've performed Berber music all over the country and the world. And so what is the most important thing you want people to know about the Berber culture, the Berber language, the Berber peoples?
It's just simple. I just want them to know that we exist, and it's not a minority, as governments of North Africa, they put it. We are a minority. We are not a minority. And I want people to know that to learn more about the Berbers, and to know that we exist across North Africa, and we are the very first known indigenous or native people of North Africa.
I just want to play one more short song before we run out of time. So
sure.
Would you play another song for us, and what would you play?
Oh, you mean live?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, I will try to play a little bit, actually a song, since you give me this chance. I'd like to talk quickly about a friend of mine whose name is Lounès Matoub, and who was assassinated on June 25th, 1998. This song is called In Memory of a Hero. وركن فتسو حاسك ثغابض أرذن شنو أرذن أرو فينك نتخضمض وركن فتسو وركن فتسو حاسك ثغابض أرذن شنو أرذن أرو فينك نتخضمض وركن فتسو وركن فتسو حاسك ثغابض أرذن شنو أرذن أرو فينك نتخضمض السفران أفوس يوران إلسي خساول في غريت عدن طبضا كنا تساخذ القبايل عشرين سنة خجتي منا في الرضا غزال عشرين سنة خجتي منا ورتجي ضوال وركن تتسو وركن تتسو خاسك ثغابل أرذن شنو أرذن أرو فينك نتخضمو وركن تتسو وركن تتسو خاسك ثغابل أرذن شنو أرذن أرو فينك نتخضمو
Mo Ali Lesh, and thank you so much for playing live and for joining us and telling us about Algerian Berber instruments, music, and peoples. Thank you so much, Mo.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Dime, and it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Mo's latest CD, When the Dust Settles, is at flagoffreedom.com, and you can also find it on stageandstudio.org as well as the podcast. This is the first of a series called Migrations on Immigrant and Refugee Artists, and it's funded by the Regional Arts and Culture Council. Find out more at facebook.com/migrationarts. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Janet Anderson, and I'll have the show later at stageandstudio.org, and you can also catch it on facebook.com/stage-the-letter-n-studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. Let's hear more music by Mo Ali Lesh.